1 Peter chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 13 through 16, and then again we'll focus on verses 15 and 16. So I begin my reading with verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action, keep sober in spirit, and fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lust which were yours in your ignorance. Verse 15, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all of your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Lord, we ask that you take this text from you, this living, breathing word from you, this word that is delivered to us from your faithful, who you trusted this word with. And God, we'll ask that you will instruct us and give us direction. And God, we pray that you will liberate us from the bondage of legalism. Bind us, Father, from the bondage of pursuing self, and liberate us completely by your grace. So we come, Lord, with great expectation to see what you have for us from your word this morning. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen. So we definitely have a piece of text here that is no small piece of text. This is complicated to a large degree because of the very nature of the text. These are absolutes that the word is spoken in here. This is not a try-to-be kind of text or aim-to-be text. This is a be text. So that means we're going to walk carefully through it. I'm praying, asking God for help and clarity in the communication, that I not come across in a legalistic position here in what being holy means or what it looks like. That I'm not going to try to somehow present to you a formulated steps of what you have to do to be holy. Basically going to start here. You can't be holy. But by the grace of God, we are instructed to be holy. So that's going to be a perplexing piece of the text this morning. Not necessarily perplexing in the sense of I don't get it and I don't understand it, but perplexing in the how do I quit trying to be a pursuer of accomplishing steps, and how do I just embrace the truth of God's Word and be holy. So that's what we're going to aim to do with the text this morning. Primarily, I'm going to have us in the book of Hebrews to do this, but I don't want you to miss what Peter has to say in chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, where he starts out here. He says, but like the Holy One who called you, this is language that's not uncommon to the New Testament church. The New Testament church, the first century church, has no problem with this kind of language. This is consistent with all of Paul's writings. This is consistent with Jesus' teachings. This is consistent with Peter's epistles and the letters that he writes, John's letters. This is not uncommon language, that the Holy One who called you, he says, to be holy yourselves also in all of your behavior. Now, I've told you before, and if you've been here for any length of time, anytime we come across a small word like all, you know, for me, that's an important word. That's again, this isn't language of try to be holy in most things. This text says be holy in all things. So that's hard. That's complicated and a paradox perhaps at some level. But it is not unachievable. And we will examine the text to see what that means, what that looks like, how that's lived out. And indeed, you, believer, you, follower of Christ, are to be holy in all of your behavior. Verse 16, because, and here's why. Here's why you are to be holy, because it's written in the text, in the Old Testament text primarily. It's all over the book of Leviticus. Here's a couple of references for you, just to, if you're quick on the draw, you can go there and look at them while I'm preaching, or you write these scripture verses down. Perhaps even you would want to go and study them at a later time. But Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44 and 45. Leviticus chapter 14, verse 2. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 7. I will stop at that part of the list. You could basically do an exhaustive study of the book of Leviticus and find this language consistent. Be holy, for I am holy. This is God saying to His people, Now, to save you from the argument of, well, he must be speaking about the nation of Israel and I'm off the hook somehow. If this language is not in the New Testament, perhaps you can make an argument for that, at least at some level, to make yourself feel better. But this language is embedded in the New Testament. Be holy, for I am holy. God's chosen people, New Testament era, are those who are called according to the workings of God, given the grace of God, those who are belonging to God. God, Peter, here, we'll even see it when we examine later portions of the text in 1 Peter, that you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. You are a people belonging to God. You are a peculiar people. Peter's not meaning the nation of Israel. Peter's meaning church. You, church, are a peculiar people. You are different. You are set apart. You are to be consecrated, is another way to put it, or sanctified, is another way to put it. But in a simple form, it is you are to be holy. And that is who we are to be. And Peter says, because it is written, because I am holy, you shall be holy. You shall be holy, and here's the reason why, is because I am holy. And the connector part back up into verse 14, out of 1 Peter, back up into verse 15, is because you were called, the Holy One who called you, the reason why He can demand you and command you to be holy in all of your conduct. So, from 1 Peter chapter 1, let me take you to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14 will be a point of focus here. So, if holiness is who we are to be holy, where does that holiness come from? How do we obtain it? How do we live it out? How do we do it? And I think that's what I want to aim to do this morning. I don't want to just bring up a piece of text that says, be holy, and then send you out and say, good luck on that. And come back and share with me your successes or your failures in doing so. I want to take you into the Scripture. I want to show you that this command to be holy, and I believe this is a command. I don't think this is a suggestion. I don't think this is a good advice position of text. This is a command. Be holy. So how then does an unholy person become holy? Well, the good news here, first of all, it doesn't start with you obtaining steps up a ladder. And that somehow along the process of climbing the ladder, you're going to become holy. Your only hope in being holy is a depositing of holiness into you from Jesus Christ. That is your only hope. That is your only chance. That is your only likelihood of being holy, is Christ doing and living through you. So to a large degree, what I want to do with you this morning is show you there is a difference in doing holiness and being holy. Doing holiness will mostly leave you frustrated in your walk with God. Being holy will liberate you. And here's where that will come out in how this will be played out. In the doing of holiness, you're doing it in your own power. You're doing it in your own strength, and you will always come up frustrated because you are not holy. I could take you to several pieces of Scripture. Isaiah 1, Romans 2, basically the entirety of the book of Romans. You could examine this and see that you are not holy and you will not be holy apart from Christ, apart from God being holy in you. So what I want to do with verse 14 out of Hebrews chapter 12 is examine this. Why is it important? Why is holiness important? Why does Peter say, be holy? For I am holy, you shall be holy. Why is that so important? And here's the first start of this. Verse 14 of Hebrews chapter 12 says this, pursue peace with all men, and the sanctification, or it's right to do this, perhaps even your translation uses the word holy or holiness, that the holiness without which no one shall see the Lord. So Peter saying, be holy. The writer of Hebrews is saying that unless you are holy, you will not see God. Now, lest you say I'm trying to bridge too many things together, let me remind you what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, His Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the holy in heart. Pure, holy, sanctified, they all mean the same thing in their language. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. If you want to have any hope in seeing God, you will have to be holy. Unless you are holy, God's righteousness will completely consume you and you will not be able to stand in His presence. And so in essence, your only hope of being in the presence of God is your ability to be holy. And so by human reasoning, by logic reasoning, from scripture text, you got no hope on your own. Apart from the saving work of Jesus Christ on the cross, the shedding of His blood, and the sanctifying of mankind, the setting apart, the consecrating, the declaring holy and righteousness of God Himself upon man, you will not be holy. So, in turn, you will not see God unless you are holy. So, then, how then does holiness live itself out? What does that look like in a fallen man's life? Okay, you tell me, unless I'm holy, I can't see God. And Paul, you're telling me I can't be holy, so I've got a problem. And I agree with you. You got a big problem. I've got a big problem. All the human race has a huge problem. This issue of holiness is actually the liberating position, is that you cannot be holy apart from God. You need God. And so if wherever you're at in your walk or pursuit of God this morning, you need to understand, and if you don't hear anything else, hear this. You need the deposited holiness of God into your life in order to see God Himself without being consumed by His righteousness. You need Him. So, that still doesn't answer the issue that Peter brings up to be holy. Because God is holy. And so, if I am to be holy, my life, there ought to be something about my redeemed life that God has done in me. There ought to be something about my life that sets me apart from the norm of my culture. If Peter's going to eventually say, you are a chosen people, you are a royal priesthood, you are a people belonging to God, you are a peculiar people. Peter uses that kind of language later on. It's got to mean something. It's got to have something to do with why he's saying to us in verses 15 and 16 that we are to be holy. So where is that connection? What does that look like? How does that lived out? So my attempt here this morning will be, and I'm praying even as I'm speaking to you right now, asking God to help me not present before you a legalistic method to be holy. I want to make sure you hear this. And if I'm overdoing it, then God, take my overdoing and be graceful with it. You cannot be holy without God doing it in you. Have you got that part of it yet? I hope you do. And if you haven't got it yet, let me say it again. You cannot be holy apart from God being holy in you. And so we've got that problem of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, where we're commanded and demanded to be holy. So I thought maybe the best place to start is in defining what holiness is not. This is a practice that I've learned from T.W. Hunt in his study entitled The Mind of Christ, that a lot of times in Scripture, in the text, that it's best to start with the opposite of what we're trying to define, so that we go into the definition knowing that we're not bringing anything that's not a part of that into it. So we'll start with what holiness is not. What is the opposite of holiness? What is the opposite of purity? What does that look like? And Paul, to the church at Rome, describes this in chapter 1. He describes it in chapter 6. He describes it in chapter 7. He describes it and the opposite of it, of unholiness, in chapter 8. The difference of being driven by the flesh and being driven by the Spirit. So long as we're driven by the flesh, we're going to be unholy. And that comes out, it lives out in all kinds of ways. It comes out in being impure. That's a simple definition, but I don't want to just take the simplistic portion of it and just say, well, if holiness is purity, then the opposite of holiness must be impurity. It is, but it's so much more than that. It's impure. It's not holy. It's not set apart. It is common, in other words. You've heard me say before, church, to our children of our church, and spoken this to my children as well, that if you really, younger people, if you really want to be different in this culture, then start with honoring your mom and your dad. Because the common practice of your generation is to dishonor them. So, commonness of mankind is to be impure. It is the nature, it is the bent of man to be driven toward impurity. To take the purity of God and to corrupt it, to make it evil, wrong. Unholiness, or the opposite of holiness, can also, I think, maybe best described in an examination of James chapter 3 and Galatians chapter 5 as Paul to the churches in the Galatian region and James to the church at large defined the characteristics of the Holy Spirit, the characteristics of the Spirit of God, and he displays them and describes them. And so there again, T.W. Hunt does such a masterful job of explaining the opposite of the character of God so that we're able to see the character of God, and it shows up like this. The opposite of holiness is impurity. The opposite of holiness is fussy or harsh or ugly. It is unapproachable. It is unmerciful. It is unfruitful. It is wavering. It is bending and disobedient. It is brutal. It is hateful. It is painful. It is driven to create war and division. It is impatient. It is hard. It is bad. It is faithless. It is arrogant. It is undisciplined. So the opposite of the character of God is those things that I just described. That is, in other words, that's me without Christ. That's you without Christ. Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1 says, "Do not be conformed to your former lust." This is verses 13 and 14 of 1 Peter chapter 1. "Do not be conformed to your former lust, which were yours in your ignorance." So, I think Peter's saying something that's very similar to what Paul says to nearly every letter or every church that he writes a letter to is, do not forget that you once were of those who have not tasted the goodness of God. You once were of those who walked in opposition to God. You once were unholy. But to the church, Peter would say it, Jesus would say it, the writer of Hebrews is saying it, be holy. Church, be holy, follower of Christ. So it's, if we've got a good understanding of what unholiness is, or the opposite of holiness is, it's, and I'll go through it again. It's impure. It's fussy. It's harsh. It's unapproachable. It's unmerciful. It's unfruitful. It's, in other words, it's fruitless. It's wavering, bending, flowing. Bending is not necessarily the word I was looking for, but going with the wind. One, you know, so long as things are going good, you're flexible like this. Flexibility is a good thing to have as a characteristic. But when it comes to holiness, we don't blow with the wind. We have a standard that is sure and solid. And that is the standard we chase after. This is the standard by which we are to pursue. So it is dishonest, the opposite of holiness. It is brutal, it's hateful, it's painful, it loves to cause pain. It causes war, it's impatient, it's hard, it's bad, it's faithless, it's disobedient, it's undisciplined, and it's arrogant. That is, in essence, everything described of who I am apart from the deposited righteousness in my life. So again, I'm still in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, where the writer says, pursue peace with all men and includes pursue. It's attached to this, and pursue the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. So pursue holiness by which, without which, without holiness, you will not see the Lord. So Peter's demand to be holy ought to be a wake-up call to us. Those who have taken on the name of Christ and you say that you're a follower of Christ, I say that you have a serious examination issue that needs to happen in your life. If you, and you'll know this, if you're a follower of Christ, you know that you're not living a holy life. You don't need me to list out a listing of things that you need to sow to weigh your life up against to see whether you're being holy or not. If you're a follower of Christ, you already know what's not holy. The reason you know that? Because holiness is living inside of you. So the liberating part here is this, is that not here's a list of things to do to be holy. It is this. Holiness is living inside of you because of Christ, because you've repented of your sins. You've confessed with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. You admit that you're a sinner. You've received His grace. You've received His mercy. That holiness of God is now deposited into you. You don't have to know what holiness is. You are holy. The liberating thing here is, be holy. It's already resident in you. It's not something that's foreign to you as a believer. As an unconverted person, you will feel as though you have to do things to be holy. And you'll find yourself again frustrated, irritated, defeated, depressed, because you're never achieving holiness. The reason you're never achieving it is you're not holy. So, believer in Christ, follower hard after God, you don't have to wonder what holiness is. Because of the deposited righteousness of God in your life, you are holy already. So Peter's command to be holy is not to add something on to you. It's to actually liberate you and let the Spirit of God be this in you. So then help us out. What is a better definition of holiness? I don't know that there is a better definition of holiness than pure, set apart, consecrated. Consecrated maybe is a little bit foreign in our English language. It just means I am set apart. I am separated out of commonness. I'm peculiar. Doesn't mean you're intentionally odd. It just means you're peculiar. People in the unconverted culture don't know what to do with you. They don't know how to handle the fact that you got peace in your life. And all of your life, all of your day is falling apart. They don't know what to do with that about you. That's that kind of separated. That's that kind of set apart. That's that kind of peculiarity. It's not because you walk with a strange, peculiar limp. It's not because you wear a patch over your eye that identifies you in a peculiar manner, or you wear a certain piece of clothing that identifies you in a peculiar manner. It's your lifestyle. It's your being a follower of Christ. It's your being holy that sets you apart. So then, again, with the aid of James in chapter 3 and Paul from the letter to the churches in the Galatian region in Galatians chapter 5, I think we find here a great definition of holiness. In other words, the characteristics of Christ. What are they? They're resident inside of me as a follower of Christ. They're not something I do or not something I do to achieve the next characteristic. It's not like a video game where you unlock a certain level so you get to the next level. You've already got it all. It's already resident in you. And so what does it look like? What does holiness look like? What does the nature of Christ look like in me? It shows up like this. Again, with the aid of James and Paul. You're pure. You're peaceable. You're gentle. You're reasonable, you're merciful, you're fruitful, you're steadfast, you're honest, you display love, you have joy, you have peace, you're long-suffering, you're gentle, there's a goodness about you, there's a faithfulness about you, there's a disciplined nature about you, there's a meekness about you, a humbleness about you. That's the characteristics of holiness. That's what it looks like in you. You say, well, I don't really see those very often in my life. Probably because you're living in some of that wrestling that Paul addresses in Romans 7 and 8. You know what righteousness looks like. You know what it is because it's in you as a follower of Christ. It's not in you automatically, okay? Just because you're a human being, these characteristics, this holiness is not in you. Apart from Christ in your unconverted state, if you're unconverted this morning, you've never repented of your sins and confessed Jesus as Lord of your life, you have no holiness in you. You have no ability to ever be holy. So I would say stop trying to be holy and repent of your sins and let holiness be inside of you and then be holy as a result of that holiness in your life. So from that, from Jesus' command in the Sermon on the Mount, where his teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are the holy. That's the depositing of that righteousness of God into your life. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The writer of Hebrews position here, pursue peace with all men and the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. You want to see God? I'm not talking about This is part of where I'm asking God for great clarity. I'm not positioning holiness as necessary for salvation. You want to see God? You got to be holy. But holiness is not your achieving factor. Holiness is what God does in you and through you. Holiness is, I don't want to put holiness as an idol in front of you that somehow you're pursuing holiness. You need to pursue God, and holiness is God. It's His characteristic, it's His characters, it's His personality, it's His traits, it's who He is. I'm not saying to you today, I'm not putting holiness, I'm trying not, God help me not put holiness in a wrong place. I'm putting holiness prayerfully in this right place in Scripture. That if you want to see God, you must be holy. Now, before you can be holy, this is why I love 1 Peter and why I'm thankful that God has driven me to preach through Peter. It's because Peter is known by many as referred to as the Apostle of Hope. Anything you know about Peter's life, he was troubled. He wrestled with what to do with God. He denied God. He wrestled with wanting to do right. And remember when he cut off the ear of the soldier in the garden? And Jesus goes, I'm sure I would love to see Jesus' reaction on his face when Peter does it. It's like, what are you doing? Jesus even tells Peter to his face, to Peter, he says, Satan, get behind me. So this is the kind of person that Peter is. That's why I love the book of 1 Peter and 2 Peter as well. Because it's framed from a person who understands you cannot achieve by climbing a ladder or steps or progression holiness. Holiness comes by the very presence of repenting of your sins and confessing of your sins before God and releasing your old nature, crucifying your flesh and letting that new man, Christ, now live in you. And so, where it seems too lofty to say, and you may be thinking in your mind, Paul, you're speaking of things that are way too lofty for me. I can't be holy. I'm saying, you, if you're a follower of Christ, you really can't not be holy. I'm not going to give you the easy position of that and say, well, we're supposed to try to be holy. And I should always be trying to be. I think you should be. I think it is a lifelong process. Paul himself said to both extremes, O wretched man that I am. Paul understood, I can't be holy. Paul understood that about him. But you also hear Paul say, yet I press on toward the high calling. I'm not trying to get to the high calling. I'm pressing on to it. I am moving toward it. I'm not trying to move toward it. I am moving toward it. And that's what I want to plead with you today. I think Paul's understanding of this from his writings to the churches is liberating when he comes to that. I think that's the liberating part of Romans chapter 8. The holiness of God inside of us gives us the ability to be holy. And when we are holy, evil cannot preside inside of us. So it's the wrestling match. I agree with you. I'm not at all going to put such a lofty position in front of you and say, listen, follower of Christ, you ought to just quit fighting, quit wrestling with all these things. You're no longer going to fight, and you're no longer going to have this desire to sin and this craving to pursue things that are opposite or opposed to God. It's probably always going to be resident inside of us so long as we're in this mortal body, this clay temple. We'll have this wrestling and the struggle that's going on. But don't just try to be holy. I don't want to put the bar too low for you. And I don't want to put it where it shouldn't be. But I want to put the bar where it needs to be. And that is a command to us, basically a liberating command, to be holy. To be pure. You don't need me to tell you what you need to quit doing to be pure. You already know. Because the Spirit of the living God is resident inside of you. Now, if you don't have the Spirit of the living God residing inside of you, then you're all about looking for, what do I got to do? What do I got to do? How do I achieve this? And what do I got to quit doing this and start doing this? And do I need to attend so many services here? Do I need to do this? And do I need to do that? You're always looking for a way to do that. And God is just saying to the follower who has the deposited righteousness of God is to be holy. So be pure, be peaceable, Be gentle. Remember the opposite. Let me walk through the definition and the opposite. And again, to the aid of T.W. Hunt and his study of the mind of Christ, and the aid of James chapter 3 and Galatians chapter 5, definitions of the characteristic of God, which is holiness, which is holy, right, consecrated. It is pure. The opposite is impure. Holiness is peaceable. The opposite of fussy or complaining. The characteristic of holy is gentle. The opposite of harsh. The characteristic is... I can't read my own writing. It's reasonable. The opposite is unapproachable. The characteristic is merciful. The opposite is unmerciful. The characteristic is fruitful. The opposite is fruitless. The characteristic is steadfast. The opposite of is wavering and blowing with the wind. The characteristic of God, holiness, is honest. The opposite is dishonest. The characteristic of the holiness of God is love. The opposite is hate. The characteristic of Christ is joyful. The opposite is painful. The characteristic is peaceful. The opposite is war. The characteristic is long-suffering. The opposite is impatient. The characteristic is gentleness. The opposite is hardness. The characteristic is goodness. The opposite is badness. The characteristic is faithful. The opposite is faithless. The characteristic is discipline. The opposite is undisciplined. The characteristic is meek. The opposite is arrogance. So, follower of Christ, you already know. Because you're warring with this all of the time. And so I would put in front of you this command from 1 Peter. The command to be holy, for I am holy. Looking again, 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 15, but like the Holy One who called you, so there is a attachment to. My children will probably cringe at the fact that they carry characteristics of their father. Probably just need to spend about 5 minutes, maybe less, with both of my children, and you will see, to their chagrin, some of their father coming out of them. And bless the Lord, not all of their father should come out of them. And pray against that some of their father would ever come out of them. But in this position, verse 15, like the Holy One, the characteristic of the Father, the characteristic of God, ought to be upon us. And it's not something we achieve to do so that we look like it's upon us. It comes natural to us now. Because righteousness is in us. And so I say to you, I hope this is liberating to you. I hope that as you walk away from here today and you hear this command, be holy for I am holy as God commands us. I hope you find that liberating actually. I hope you find that permission to act like God. I hope that you find that permission to not act like your old nature, which is the opposite of everything that God is. So what a question out of these texts from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, from the writer of Hebrews and from Peter here. So what is required to see God? What is required to be with God? What is required to be in God's presence? And it is simply this. And I do mean simply, because as a follower of Christ, this is already in you. It's to be holy. Conduct yourself in a manner that represents the character of the one who is inside of you. If your presiding character and nature is the opposite of God's character and nature, I would quickly take you to 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and say to examine yourself and to see if you are in the faith. If it's hard for you to be kind, if it's hard for you to be peaceful, if it's hard for you to be pure, if it's hard for you to be gentle, if it's hard for you to be joyful, if it's hard for you to be disciplined, okay, I know, Paul, man, you're putting something that's way too big for me there, and I'm really not. So long as we're trying to satisfy the flesh, this is a huge issue. But to obey the command to be holy, it's actually liberating. And oh, how I pray that you would find that liberating touch from God right now. I'm not talking about knowing knowledge. You can have a lot of knowledge and not be pure about God. You can know a lot about God and not be holy. You can have a lot of zeal toward things, the things of God and the things of the Bible, and not be holy. You can make a lot of sacrifices and you can do a lot of things in the name of God and never be holy. You can do a lot of religious actions and you can speak with a lot of religious jargon in your language and in your speech. You can keep company with a lot of godly people, but unless you are holy, you will never see the face of God. And how are you to be holy? Dear God, how are we to be holy in this corrupt framing that I have? And it is simply again from the start. I repent of my sins immediately. I repent, God, of my old nature. I repent of my arrogance and I repent of my harshness. I repent of my anger. I repent of my crudeness. And oh God, I no longer want to be conformed to the patterns of my former lust. So I embrace you. Lord, we ask that you would help us live in this command. Jesus, you yourself, you tell us that if we are weary and heavy laden, we are to come to you and we will find rest. And Lord, it's possible that in this room there are some who are very weary and heavy laden in trying to be holy. And God, they're trying to do holiness in their own power. And they're weary. They're troubled. They're downtrodden and they're dragging low because they're defeated. And yet, God, you tell us to take upon ourselves your yoke because it's easy. It's light. So God, how is it possible in our minds thinking to think that to be holy is easy? To be holy is light. How is that, God? Because when I look at holiness and I see it's completely opposite of my character, God, that seems burdensome upon me. A yoke that wants to slap me to the ground and too heavy for me to carry. Yet, God, I will hear your pleading to come to you. And God, in coming to you, I long to be holy. God, how do I take my language and stop saying I'm going to try to be holy? And say that I will press on toward this high calling. And that, God, I will be holy. I think therein lies the greatest problem in my mind. Is that I cannot be holy. But because of your deposited righteousness, I cannot but be holy. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who will save me from this body of decay? But you, and you alone. So I turn my eyes upon you, God, and I pursue you with my all. God, come and liberate your people. Call upon the heart, the mind, the conscience upon that soul who doesn't know you today. And liberate them from the burden. And liberate them to be holy.